cool.
Well, all we talk about is body positivity, but everybody's getting Botox, lap band, and they're all on Ozempic. Which one is it?
Well, they don't want to die, but they want to pretend they're okay. And they want to pretend that it's fine to be exactly how you are. Because it's uncomfortable to deal with the fact that you got to make some changes. And so let's not make people uncomfortable. Let's let China win.
There you go.
Let's let Russia win. Let's keep everybody weak and fat and stupid and lazy and addicted to their phones.
Yeah.
And then let's shut the power off.
Coming to you from a rainy pastel bungalow on the Gulf Coast of Florida, my name is Maverick Matthews, and this is Pepper for Your Steak.
As long as you focus on yourself, you suffer. See, suffering comes from focusing on you.
Wow.
That's why contribution is so valuable, because when you're doing something for others, you're not thinking about you unless you're trying to do it to get something.
Right, and a lot of people had to focus on themselves because it was a survival mechanism.
Me too.
So they didn't have a choice.
That's right.
So some people, you don't even realize it. Your whole life, you might be focusing on yourself and you might think, well, I'm selfish, but some of that might be just old habits because you had to focus on yourself to make sure you were okay.
That's right. But then what happens is we don't update our software. It'd be like,
right.
It'd be like using one of those old, you know, digital or not even digital phones. You'd be like, what are you doing? You an idiot?
Oh, yeah, using a pencil.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing?
Somebody's
we're
like,
living
oh,
the
this
modern
guy's a
world.
Pervert.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But you, it's time to upgrade your software. Right. And that's what you're doing. You're upgrading your mental software.
The power of his genius supplied the deficiencies of the imperfect communications of the Hierophants. And he himself became a master and a revealer.
Thus transits the glory of the world. That is the name of this episode. My name is Maverick Matthews, and this introduction song is Morphine from the album, I think it's called Like Swimming. Mark Sandman overdosed on morphine. He was deep into his own story. Check him out.
Why can't love be blind instead of just a blind man crying? Why can't love be, why can't love be
go back and listen to the drop, you can hear him go, yow! That's one of my favorite parts of that song. Okay, I have a clip show for you here, as usual, and then a little bit of the, what I'm starting to call the esoteric encyclopedia. So we're going to do something classic in the middle. Don't overlook the clip show, by the way. I have possibly the best Joe Rogan clip that's ever been recorded. Also, Tim Dillon goes hard in the paint. Now, this isn't just going to be an aggregator show. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm painting a picture here, but you're going to have to stick with me. Sticky palette.
Oh.
I also have some electronic music at the end, as usual. This is going to be cool. Let's listen to Tim Dillon endanger, you know, his personal safety really quickly. Like, I could not believe he said this. Pretty sure this is illegal.
But I think what I do now, I love. I love making schedules. I love touring and a podcast.
Yeah, that's, I mean, listen, really, yeah. I think you try to do everything.
Correct.
And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
I'm having dinner tonight with RFK, his VP, the great Anna Hashem. We're trying to overthrow the government.
As you should.
Okay, we're flying Anna in. From Ritzker, we're trying to overthrow the government. And I don't know who his VP is going to be, but I'm not allowed to mention it for 15 days. He texted me. He's like, it's some type of...
RFK?
Yeah, he texted me. He goes, what did
his
he say?
Text sound fucked up too?
Yeah, he texted me. He said, Chatham House rules tonight, where we're not allowed to talk about anything. So we're trying to overthrow the government. Now, that might not work, and I might have to do something on Peacock.
Am I missing something here? He says it three distinct times. What kind of insane bull baiting is this? Where he's just like, I'm with the Kennedys now, and no one has ever touched any of them. Like, I'm nervous even reposting this. But I wanted to open with it. So that's what kind of show this is going to be. Clip show, esoteric encyclopedia, and then some electronic music for training. I will drop in the time code for the music here. Boop. So that you can cut ahead. Speaking of music, let's have a bit of an introduction, shall we?
We thought we had something different here, you see. We live in both a very fragile and precious experiment in democracy, and we live in an empire that is experiencing profound decline.
Reptilian agenda. Okay, let's talk about the reptiles. So you're saying the reptilians are luring humans to, like, Hawaii, to vacation spots?
The moon was stabbed to scare wiping. I've said this for years.
To live this life, you can't live the life everyone else lives. You're not going to be partying on the weekends. You're going to be performing on the weekends. You're not going to be watching the big game on a Thursday night because you'll be in a club. You have to have that mindset that you don't belong. You don't go to the rhythm of the rest of the world.
Pepper for your steak. You know, I spent the last 4 months building a little travel trailer, a tiny, they call these things teardrops, but mine's quite angular. I'll put pictures up on Instagram if you want to go check it out. But my son and I spent the last 4 months building this thing. He's five, so when we're building, he's drawing hearts on the inside of the wood, and I'm, you know, doing whatever. We took it down to the Everglades camping for its inaugural trip. It was an amazing trip until the thunderstorm, which caused my dog to rip a window out of a tent and escape for 10 hours into the swamp. She was presumed dead. I had no means of knowing what was happening to her. I searched for a long time, got the Park Service involved. We had a fun romp. And in the end, I ended up losing my shoes in a mangrove swamp up to my knees in mud in an area not even a quarter mile from a spot where a week before a 60-something-year-old gentleman fell out of his little sailboat and was pulled underwater by an American saltwater crocodile. I mean, this is a very dangerous place to lose a doggy for 10 hours. And I was definitely was trying to be strong, but was kind of a bitch about it. Have you guys seen a dog? A dog's missing. You know, what? When your dog goes missing in the middle of the night on your inaugural camping trip with your new trailer, you know, with your five-year-old son, not super fun. But guess what? We got her back. I found her in the deep, deep mud and carried her out part of the way barefoot through a mangrove swamp while I was asking the officer with me, hey, how dangerous is what we're doing right now? She goes, well, I mean, I don't see anything. So that's how dangerous it was. And that's the Everglades story. I wanted to touch on it here because it's on my mind. That's what I've been doing for the last week, is sneaking around South Florida, realizing it's a cursed pirate's backwater. There are potholes on some of the roads on the way to the Everglades that will strip your car of its axle. For sure. Not even a question. Yeah. How about this? That sounds nice. That's the new protection we have for alligators here after that last incident. Okay, let's lighten the load. We're going to go into some Joe Rogan clips. Dr. Phil had some important things to say. I got to get to the shit part of the shit sandwich pretty quick here because we have to... I just want to put things down for the record. For the permanent record. By the way, all of my podcasts and content is about to be available on a thumb drive. I'm going to start copying everything I ever did onto one thumb drive, which you can purchase for the low price of 25 payments of $19.95. Very cheap. It comes in a Faraday cage, a bag, so it can never be deleted or erased by aliens or solar flares. The elections are coming up, and that should be interesting.
Yeah. We've got a lot of guys coming out here. Jamie Foxx, what a great guy. Look at my African-American over there. He's Any Given Sunday, what a movie, what a film. I talked to Oliver Stone. He said, could you make Any Given Sunday better? I said, get Jamie Foxx in there. I got Jamie Foxx then. Yeah. We've got a lot of guys coming out here.
Okay, I'm softening you up for some heavier content. Dr. Phil, I get it. Entertainer, whatever. But he had some interesting things to say about the border. I really just kind of want to get this in here for documentary sake, just to kind of record it as an encyclopedia. So here we go.
Point. So we're subsidizing behavior that... we don't want. We don't know who it is. And we've got between 2010 and 2020, they had about 1,100 to 1,500 Chinese come across the border. And in the first 11 months of 2023, they had about 33,000 come across the border.
Are you worried about that in terms of it being a military threat? Are you thinking these are people that are escaping a totalitarian, oppressive government and they want to be able to make their own money and live in the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Yes.
Both.
I think there are people that 100% want to get out away from the oppressive government there, for sure. And the number of military-aged men, I'm just told by people that are at the border and have witnessed this themselves, the number of military-aged men that are showing up with military haircuts, clearly in shape. I said these guys are showing up with six-packs and military boots. That are coming in is not an insignificant number. Now, where are they going? We don't know. We don't know where they're going. We're not following them. We're not tracking them. And one thing I want to be real careful about, and I'm very sincere about this, I don't want to say anything that causes people to feel badly or foster any kind of hatred toward Asian people in the United States. It's not the people, it's the government that's the problem. I think that we've got, it's just like, if they are sending people over here that are military aged with an agenda, would we be naive to think that if we've let that many in, that they couldn't spread out across the country and in some coordinated effort attack the energy grid here on a given day and create havoc? Of course they could.
Of course they could.
Okay, so here I am 15 minutes in, finally telling you the true kernel of kind of exposure that I'd like to talk about for this episode. You can hear this in the opening clip, by the way. If you go back to the very beginning of the podcast, the last thing Joe Rogan says is they get everyone focusing on their phones and on the internet, and then they turn the power off. There's a very powerful narrative in the counterculture right now talking about a cyber attack or some kind of attack that makes the lights go out, the electricity go off. In fact, if you go so far as to watch, I don't know what the movie's called, but it's the Doomsday movie that Barack Obama produced recently that came out, that's like Leave the World Behind or something like that. They even give a date. They say that's like September 23rd or something like that. Some very Luciferian Freemasonic date. It's obvious. This narrative is pretty well set up, you know, and here is Dr. Phil going, what if they attacked? And he just mentions power grid casually. It's interesting. Now, I'm not making any predictions. I'm not actually saying anything here. I just wanted to document this because here it is, March. It's the almost the end of March 2024, election year, and everyone's waiting for the madness. So it's interesting to have a lot of people going, well, it's going to be the loss of electricity. And so what do you do to prepare for that? You have weapons, you know, I guess. And food and water, and most importantly, a plan. And hopefully you're not in a city like a dum-dum like me. Okay, let's move on to some other clips. We have a lot of ground to cover. All right, soldiers. It's now that we're in, now that Tim Dillon has overthrown the government and we are in the insurrection, Joe Rogan is our new general. Let's listen to some more of the things he has said with other people because they're worth hearing. Dr. Phil, one more thing to say.
Adhering to science, if we're not embracing science, and, you know, when you talk about woke, they say they're postmodernist thinkers, which means they reject science. They reject morality. They reject those things that we've always kind of held as the fundamental building blocks of intellectual discourse. If that's the starting place, we reject science. We reject objectivity, and everything has to be self-referential. If it's important to us at the time, that's our starting place. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
It just simply doesn't work. And if they're not teaching critical thinking, and if we're not embracing a meritocracy, what's going to happen to us?
Nothing good. And this is all cult thinking. That's all it is. It's no different than being involved in some wacky sect that, you know, you see in a Netflix documentary. It's the same thing. You're not looking at reality. You're only adhering to what these rules are for your particular group.
Dr. Phil had some trouble with the W's. Listen, sometimes when you're on a long episode and you're a doctor named Phil, your W's get tricky. I don't have to explain these points. They're good. I'm aggregating these ideas. Just let your brain kind of put these together as blocks. Let's do one more. A lot of Joe Rogan here. A lot of different shows, same ideas. The cult.
Well, that's always the coolest thing is the people that go, no.
You can do whatever you
want.
And
that's what the coolest thing is today. And that's like the punk rockers of today are the people that are rebelling against this bizarre system that even like the artists have somehow or another accepted as being the right thing to think and believe and trust and go along with, even though you know you're in a fucking cult. And the people that are resisting that, knowing you're going to get labeled a fascist or a Nazi, just because you see what the fuck is going on, you people are out of your mind. How about leaving everybody the fuck alone? Those people are the coolest thing about America. Because this is one of the rare places on Earth where you could still do that for now without being prosecuted.
Everybody's slurring. Thus transits, you know, the glory of the world. A lot of crazy stuff coming up. Just wanted to document it. Power grids. What other ideas did I pull from Joe? Let's see here. A couple more. Just want to put these all down in the record. Here we go. These are good ones to think about.
You know, there's two pieces of advice I always give comics, or just young men in general. Aspire to be the person you pretend to be when you're trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Just be that person.
Yeah.
Instead of pretending to be that person. Become that person.
Right.
Become a person that you would admire. You can do, it's possible to do. If you can pretend to be that person, you can actually be that person.
Right.
Aspire to be that person. And then the second one is, live your life like a documentary crew is following you around.
That is the gem hidden at 21 minutes and 43 seconds in this episode. Probably the most profound advice Joe Rogan has ever given, largely because it's so concise, it's so simple, it's just packaged, it's right there. The first half, live up to your most wild expectation of yourself. It's really just believe that you can become something impressive, because you can. And the second half is like a Hollywood way of saying religion, you know, live your life like a documentary crew was filming you. It's also, you know, the religion half would say live your life as though like the deity who created you was watching you. And that's kind of saying, I can only say this because I have a 5-year-old. I know that he starts to act out when we are paying close attention to him. Like if we're at the beach or something and we're both watching him and he starts, you know, being a goofball, he's really resonating and bouncing off of our energy. The second half of that statement is telling you to do that. Become undeniable to yourself. Blah, 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 blah. Have sticky lips and go... That advice from Joe Rogan, I promise you, will prove to be timeless. Let's listen to one or two more things that I pulled out, and then we'll switch to the esoteric encyclopedia.
You're a Jew. I mean, how do you feel about the Jew hate right now?
I don't see any of it.
Come on.
I think it's all internet related.
If you go to Palestine, you will 100% fucking see it.
If I went to a very specific region of the world, I might see it online.
It's more emboldened.
Yeah.
Is it not? Yes.
But I'm in New York and all over the country and really the world, and I've never seen any. I've not been all over the world since October 7th.
Isn't that
I've been all over the country. I've never seen a single thing in my real life. So I think it's you got to shut your computers off and live your fucking life.
Go out hiking.
Never seen a single thing in my real life, so I think it's you got to shut your computers off and live your fucking life. Go out hiking.
But isn't it what we talked about reading comments?
It's that. They're shoving the worst shit in front of you all the time. So you think that's the world. It's not the world. I'm the Jewiest looking guy in the world. If there was any fucking anti-Semitism statistically realistic, it would come to me.
I want to send you as a correspondent for the JRE to go to the Free Palestine protests.
I'll go to that.
You should go to that.
I'll try to blend in.
That nose is so punchable.
I couldn't.
That nose is so punchable.
It's such a target, even for hooks.
Would you say that everyone could do so much damage? You're talking about Jew, you're a Jew, Jew face,
yeah.
Super Jew-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never had a problem. Would you say that goes to everything? Black people are not that 100%.
Almost everybody.
Gays are not that preyed upon.
Me and his friend Nate Marshall had the same thing. You're just imagining all these terrible things happening. When day-to-day life, 99.9% is fun. Everyone just enjoying the weather at the same time.
If you're Ari Shaffir.
No, it's everybody. Right. I think you're right.
Nate said the same thing to me.
Get clicks.
It's just like, oh, I'm in fear of all this stuff happening. Depends who you talk to. If you're online
if
more,
you're in
everything's
the
terrible.
Outside of Chicago, where violent crime and murder is higher than it is in Afghanistan at the peak of the invasion.
Yeah.
Then that's not real.
I guess but I'm not there. So what you're saying, imagine this terrible place.
No, you don't have to imagine it. But I'm just saying, like, if you make a blanket statement that, like, everybody's life is less terrible than what you're seeing in the media.
No, I would say almost everybody. Statistically insignificant.
You're
if
right.
you just shut off your computer,
if you, say it
you wouldn't
way.
See any hatred, any anti-black hatred, anti-Jewish.
That's true.
None of it.
Hatred.
Just go out and go for a hike. Everybody's pretty cool with each other.
If you have no other takeaway from this show, just go out and go for a hike. Everybody's pretty cool with each other. Having just spent the last week in the Everglades, I can tell you this is the truth. Everybody just is trying to be so cool. Hey, how you doing? Isn't it cool to be in nature? Doesn't it suck that we are slaves in the city now in some dystopian future where they're about to... Anyway. You can see it in everyone's eyes. Everyone's wonderful. It was an amazing experience. We had a ton of fun. It was the time of my life. I had to drive back into the city, and I hated that. But Ari Shaffir kind of put my mind into this, and I happened to be listening to Edward Abbey while I was building the travel trailer, putting a few little finishing touches on in a frantic way before I hit the road. So consider this. He wrote The Desert Solitaire, probably the quintessential book on what it means to have experienced the change from a very untouched America to sort of carved out, quote unquote, national parks, which are like, I don't know, big zoos essentially now that have permits and times and requirements and schedules. And, you know, the only free part of the country, and I hate to even say this on the record, is like BLM land. Or interagency land, public lands which have no title. And soon they'll come after those. And for now, go find them. Here's one more little quote, a little interstitial, and then we will move into the esoteric encyclopedia. Maverick Matthews, pepper for your steak. Been a minute since we did a sounder. Maybe we should do a commercial here for bugs. Because we're talking about being outside and camping.
For God's sake, folks, get out of them there machines. Take off those fucking sunglasses and unpeel both eyeballs. Look around. Throw away those goddamned idiotic cameras. For Christ's sake, folks, what is this life if full of care we have no time to stand and stare, huh? Take off your shoes for a while, unzip your fly, piss hardy, dig your toes in the hot sand, feel that raw and rugged earth, split a couple of big toenails, draw blood. Why not? Jesus Christ, lady, roll that window down. You can't see the desert if you can't smell it. Dusty? Of course it's dusty. This is Utah. But it's good dust. Good red Utah dust. Rich in iron, rich in irony. Turn that motor off. Get out of that piece of iron and stretch your varicose veins. Take off your brassiere and get some hot sun on your old wrinkled dugs. You, sir, squinting at the map with your radiator boiling over and your fuel pump vapor locked, crawl out of that shiny hunk of GM junk and take a walk. Yes, leave the old lady and those squalling brats behind for a while. Turn your back on them and take a long, quiet walk straight into the canyons. Get lost for a while. Come back when you damn well feel like it. It'll do you and her and them a world of good. Give the kids a break, too. Let them out of the car. Let them go scrambling over the rocks hunting for rattlesnakes and scorpions and anthills. Yes, sir, let them out. Turn them loose. How dare you imprison little children in your goddamned upholstered horseless hearse? Yes, sir. Yes, madam. I entreat you. Get out of those motorized wheelchairs. Get off your foam rubber backsides. Stand up straight like men, like women, like human beings, and walk. Walk. Walk on our sweet and blessed land.
Do me a huge favor, though, please. I'm just going to include this here for general information. If you go hiking and you have like some kind of like boombox equipment or a phone or something that is like playing music, it is my job to inform you that if you're playing music out loud, it is within American custom, normal American trail custom, to push you off the side of a cliff. So don't have music playing in the out of doors. I wouldn't do this kind of thing to anybody. I just want to make that clear. I'm just informing you about what it's like to be out on the trail, like Ari Shaffir microdosing, or like Shane Gillis with 17 nicotine pouches in his cheek. Okay, we're going to transition here into Esoteric Encyclopedia, but before we do, I thought I would include something that was so funny. You know, Theo, I have issues with some of the people that Theo platforms, and then all of a sudden he'll platform Tony Robbins, and it'll be incredible. But Shane Gillis went on his show, and they had some fun. It was a fun time, and I want to do a little palate cleanser here. This is the sorbet, comedically, before we go into the Esoteric Encyclopedia. Pepper for your steak.
It's pizza time.
Yeah. What was I looking at this morning that was making me laugh? It was oh, do you see that thing with the mayor? Do you see that thing with the mayor of New York?
No.
Oh, dude. It's oh yeah, this is it right here. Do you see this? So Eric Adams, he teaches, what was he saying? They're teaching kids how to
They're teaching parents how to search your kid's room to find drugs and gun stuff.
Get it? You see this?
You can look at a jewelry box. A jewelry box of this nature, maybe a simple jewelry box, but if you look through it closely, you don't know what your child may be hiding. For instance, a gun.
That's from the state of New York. The government was like, make it scary as fuck.
Hold on. Start it over. Yeah, that music is crazy.
It's like scare the fuck out of these people.
It's like, it almost seems like a like the story before Castlevania starts, or like on a video game.
A jewelry box.
Yeah, this is the opening menu.
Yeah. But if you look through it closely, you don't know what your child may be hiding. For instance, a gun. Look at picture frames behind you, cameras. Try to determine what's taking place. Behind a picture frame, you can find bullets. You should always, when your child...
This is a video game. That's where you find bullets in video games.
Look through it to see...
Look through his knapsack. You might find a grenade.
In addition to a book. Something simple as a crack pipe. Something simple as a baby doll.
What grade is a kid?
A baby doll, but also it could be a place where you can secrete... Or high drugs.
Bro, this is the mayor.
That's unusual. Like a pillow like this with a button is a perfect invitation to hide something. And I felt something bumpy. I would reach in, see what it is.
Bro, you guys have got to stop it, man. You guys have to see this. I mean, it's just, that's unbelievable. Look at this. Where's the cocaine at?
Cocaine. You can look at the jewelry box. A jewelry box.
Hold on, I like it.
More than just books.
Go back to jewelry box.
Just look and see what's inside your bookcases. Dude, it's more than just books.
This is like Black Clue.
Crazy. I feel like it. Call me fucking Colonel Mustard.
Look behind this picture of your cousin. What's that? An 8-ball? Some.
Dude. Okay. So you know the lesson here is. Because we're entering a dystopian future, you should get ready to treat it like a video game. They've been teaching this to us for years. Prepare yourself for the big maze. They have the movies. Hey, basically, we're just going to turn everything into like a who's the best It's not that you're going to watch Bread and Circus. It's that you're going to be Bread and Circus. That's the future. It's cool. It's neat. It's not supported by Pepper Free Steak, but what we do support is the eradication of bugs, and then we're going to transition into esoteric encyclopedia. So here is a message from our sponsors.
Are you plagued by flies, chinch bugs, schenectadies, and other larvae, fruiting animals, which incorporate themselves into your home? Why not chemicalize them with new, powerful chemicalizer? You can find this at www.cranstonchemicalizer.com. All it takes is one spritz, and a fantastic aroma will fill your home with the sound and smell of dead bugs, chinch bugs, organic critters, any kind of weasel. Don't be afraid to chemicalize. Chemicalize today, only at www.cranstonchemicalizer.com.
Thank you to Cranston's Chemicalizer. We wouldn't be where we are today without you. Okay, so this section, you know, we're going to do Esoteric Encyclopedia, new section. This is really to kind of record standard narratives of this era. So if you go into the shape of the earth, what is true cosmology, start doing the math, researching the data, you know, going back in history and saying, what do people say about the shape of the earth? What about Antarctica? What about the bottom of the world? What about the top of the world? What about places? What about inside? Nobody talks about it. It's just lava. A lot of weird stuff. So there is a very famous narrative about Admiral Byrd. What I'm going to do here is put forward that which is immediately available on the internet if you were just to go do a cursory search. This is what you'd come up with. Why would I want to do this? Because regardless of what comes out in the future about the nature of the shape and physics of the earth, this is Esoteric Encyclopedia. It's a very PBS title. Esoteric Encyclopedia. There's some gunshots in there. That'd be cool. Which I don't think is what they tell us. You judge for yourself. Here's some really old news reports. It's like watching CNN or Fox from 100 years ago. It's still garbage, right? Hello! Today we are talking to the Admiral. It's going to be ridiculous. And that's how people 100 years from now are going to view this podcast. Wow, he couldn't precognition his thoughts. Anyway, let's dive in. Let's jump in. Maverick Matthews, pepper for your steak.
Our guest tonight found out whether there was any land north of the North American continent. He made that first discovery flight, and I must say that Admiral Byrd, our guest tonight, is not only our greatest living explorer, but he's been an inspiration to countless Americans. Admiral Byrd, you've been to both the North Pole and the South Pole. Is there any unexplored land left on this earth that might appeal to adventurous young Americans?
Yes, there is. And not up around the North Pole, because it's getting crowded up there now, because they find out it's really usable, not only to live in, but militarily. But strangely enough, there's left in the world today an area as big as the United States that's never been seen by a human being. And that's beyond the pole on the other side of the South Pole from Middle America. And I think it's quite astonishing that there should be an area as big as that unexplored.
That's a tremendous
challenge. So there's a lot of adventure left down at the bottom of the world.
There's a lot of adventure to be had in the bottom of the world, gentlemen. I must get in my plane, the Martini. I mean, what a boss. Okay, so what did he supposedly say that made everybody call him a crazy person? Here's a little excerpt from one of these cheese ball, you know, documentary channel shows. I had to watch everything on this guy. So here's like a little description of what he said.
Famous polar explorer Admiral Richard Byrd allegedly reported seeing a massive entrance to an underground world during his 1947 expedition to the South Pole.
Admiral Byrd made a lot of unusual statements, allegedly talking about a large opening at the South Pole that went deep inside the Earth, ice-free, and was inhabited by various sorts of aliens. And when Byrd got back to the United States, he was brought back to Washington, where he was questioned very heavily about his statements. And allegedly, he was told to stop talking about this.
What? I hope you can hear this plane going overhead. That's my plane. Go back and listen to the how they have an airplane in the background. Admiral Byrd was in his plane. He saw a big hole. He flew into that hole, and there was another world. I mean, what if this happened? What if that's the... This guy, I don't think he just lost his mind. What's more plausible? This guy was in charge of 4,000-plus people and had Steve Zissou-quality equipment. When I first went into this, my first reaction was like, oh, this is kind of like a staged theater thing for us to be like, and now we know these aliens are here. And so that the public can begin to have commerce with them. You know, it's kind of like so I don't know what they're staging this thing for. It feels so staged. And Team Zissou. It's like clips of them, like they're studying snowbanks. And they blow it up. You can't make this up. Let's listen to them talk about the special space vehicle that he designed, that Byrd designed, that they took up there. And if you go watch black and white videos of this, there's basically only three videos you can watch. There's like a 52-minute Navy video, the Longines interview, and then a couple other little snippets. It's been so sanitized. I can remember him seriously sitting there and saying, there are deposits of coal which could fuel the entire world forever. Okay, and maybe they did, you know. Okay, one of the interesting things to look at with these folks is always how they die. Okay, sometimes if it's obviously tragic, like two bullets to the back of the head, well, you're like, okay, obviously somebody didn't like what he was saying. All it says on Wikipedia is he died of a heart ailment at the age of 68. In 1957. So, let's talk, you know, bummer, sad part here. But, which that's pretty young, you know. But he got to drive this vehicle around. And it sounds pretty cool, except for a few limitations.
Byrd arrived in Antarctica with what at the time was the most advanced piece of equipment ever built for polar exploration.
By the way, the most advanced piece of polar exploration technology up till this point was probably like a boat or a tent, maybe a radar station, you know, a wooden clapboard house. You could have brought a bicycle up there and someone would have been like, that's the most advanced. No, it has a motor in it. Oh, that's the most advanced piece of polar exploration we've ever had. Just want to point that out.
He called it the Antarctic Snow Cruiser. Part ice tank, part ice bus, part invincible travel lodge. It was last seen partially buried on the Ross Ice Shelf.
But wait, it gets better. Oh, and listen for the dramatic music in the background. I always have a plane now. That's a biplane. It's red. There's a guy walking on it, on the wing. Listen to the dramatic music in the background here. Get ready for this description.
The Snow Cruiser was 56 feet long, 19 feet wide, and 16 feet tall. Smooth 10-foot tall balloon tires were custom built to handle Antarctica's choppy ice and wide crevasses. A pair of six-cylinder diesel engines powered four diesel-electric drivetrains, generating an intimidating four-wheel drive machine. They ran a combined 300 horsepower and a maximum speed of 30 miles per hour. Fully loaded, the Snow Cruiser weighed 37 tons.
And on the inside, there were sleeping quarters, a workshop, a galley, plenty of storage space, and even a dark room.
Stop. Now, either the Life Aquatic was Steve Zissou copied this, like Wes Anderson literally saw these old videos and was like, that's because he was, you know, essentially making an homage to, you know, this era century explorers. I mean, even if he was focusing on Jacques Cousteau, he would have looked up all and done research on all the explorers of this era. And this is the same kind of thing. I'm surprised Jacques Cousteau wasn't on. He might have been involved with these. We are going to the very cold waters to dive, but we'll stay happy by playing board games and cutting holes in the snow to swim in the ice. That's always what it is. They do it in the Life Aquatic. Wild snow mongoose, Steve? So it's just, listen to that description. Anyway, I wanted to point that out. It's important stuff here, folks. Another biplane.
But that's not all. Bird wanted room on top to carry a small plane that would fly ahead and scout safe routes for the Snow Cruiser.
Okay, we're talking about a 60-foot-long bus with four perfectly round tires that look like they just blew up inner tubes, the inner tube of a tire. Well, now we have tubeless tires, but when they had tires with tubes, and some tires still have tubes, some tires have tubes. It looks like it's just riding on inner tubes. They're perfectly smooth. Like, as if they'd never been in snow before? And this bus, this giant bus, has an airplane on the roof? This is like, pretty sure it's supposed to be like 57. No, 47 was when he did his last one. So, in the 30s, were people really this insane? Or is this a big spectacle? And they were that brilliant. I don't... Anyway, let's listen to more of this, and then we'll move on. A couple more ideas. Because this Admiral Byrd stuff talking about a society at the bottom of the world ties in perfectly to another book, another one of these counterculture narratives that came out from a newspaper in Florida around 1900. And that'd be before Byrd. Fascinating. Let's listen a little bit more Byrd stuff.
The President's cabinet approved the expedition. As Secretary of the Navy, James V. Forrestal explains the reasons for the enterprise.
Okay, so this is how they sell it to the American public, as very serious. You know, because they're like, what news is coming out? Well, all these young people are being mobilized in the Navy to go down to Antarctica to do this thing, 4,000 of them. And their families kind of want to know what's happening and, what is this? And like, so they have to do these campaigns. And so this is Secretary of State James Forrestal on some interview. Listen to how excited he is.
There is only one untouched reservoir of raw materials left in the world, and that's in the region known as Antarctica. An area larger than the combined area of the United States and Europe.
I know people have broken this stuff down before, but I just want to point out, it got bigger. Admiral Byrd said the United States, now it's the United States and Europe.
The American government is sending a naval expedition to that region. The purpose is to train our Navy in polar operations.
Now things get creepy. This is the Secretary of State speaking. We need to train our boys for polar operations? Who are we going to be battling in the poles?
So that it may better perform its function of preserving the peace upon the seven seas of the world. Beyond that, the American government is seeking to do its share.
Aha! We just want to do our share. We just want to do our share of protecting all seven seas from the poles? I'm going to play that again real quick. This is why we're going down there with 4,000 people.
The purpose is to train our Navy in polar operations so that it may better perform its function of preserving the peace upon the seven seas of the world. Beyond that, the American government is seeking to do its share.
Okay, we don't need to finish that. Thank you, Secretary of State, for such a clear explanation. And then, of course, I would like to finish with a little bit of the, it's almost like a training or like a propaganda video you'd see to like recruit people for the expedition. It's so Steve Zissou. This is why I made the reference in the first place. Watch this with your ears. Watch this with your ears.
Under the guidance of Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd, their organizer-in-chief, the group lived for a year and a half, defying the incredible cold of the long winter, and the temperature sometimes dropped to 70 degrees below zero.
It looks like Nebraska.
And even the Arctic refugees were snowbound. Safe in the haven they had built, the men defeated boredom by preparing for the milder weather of the Antarctic spring. To work,
dude,
trying out new
like
equipment.
Like $1 million military vehicle.
Making scientific tests of the ice shield. Unearthing the Antarctic secrets by plane and
plane
sled.
Taking off. Sled dog.
Boldly challenging the unknown.
Old man trying to ski around.
Like Byrd, who in 1935 lived a dangerous, solitary life completely isolated near the South Pole for 4.5 months.
unlike this man who lived a dangerous, solitary life.
Okay. All right.
All right.
The Not History Channel and the Not Discovery Channel present to you the Zombie Network. All zombies, all the time. Zombie sharks, zombie spiders, even zombie people. Zombie Network, 24 hours a day, 803.756 days a week. Zombie Network.
You're upgrading your mental software.
Okay. I feel I would be remiss if I were not to tell you that you should read a book called The King in Yellow. A lot of books sort of talk about the future. Some of them are very, very hidden, but also in plain view. I'm going to play a quote for you here from The King in Yellow. It's going to describe a public suicide chamber. Perhaps this will be part of the globalist population agenda. I don't know. What I did want to do was record a passage from a book here. Which, you know, sometimes people, they kind of tell you, hey, maybe this is going to, hey, you know, hey, sure.
It was, I remember, the 13th day of April, 1920, that the first government lethal chamber was established on the south side of Washington Square, between Wooster Street and South Fifth Avenue. The block, which had formerly consisted of a lot of shabby old buildings used as cafes and restaurants for foreigners, had been acquired by the government in the winter of 1913. The French and Italian cafes and restaurants were torn down. The whole block was enclosed by a gilded iron railing and converted into a lovely garden with lawns, flowers, and fountains. In the center of the garden stood a small white building, severely classical in architecture and surrounded by thickets of flowers. Six Ionic columns supported the roof, and the single door was of bronze. A splendid marble group of the Fates stood before the door, the work of a young American sculptor, Boris Evane, who had died in Paris when only 23 years old. The inauguration ceremonies were in progress as I crossed University Place and entered the square. I threaded my way through the silent throng of spectators, but was stopped at 4th Street by a cordon of police. A regiment of officers were drawn up in a hollow square round the lethal chamber. On a raised tribune facing Washington Park stood the governor of New York, and behind him were grouped the mayor of Greater New York, the inspector general of police, the commandant of the state troops, Colonel Livingston, military aide to the president of the United States, General Blount, commanding at Governor's Island, Major General Hamilton, commanding the garrison of Greater New York, Admiral Buffby of the fleet in the North River, Surgeon General Lansford, the staff of the National Free Hospital, Senators Wise and Franklin of New York, and the Commissioner of Public Works. The tribune was surrounded by a squadron of hussars of the National Guard. The governor was finishing his reply to the short speech of the Surgeon General. I heard him say, "The laws prohibiting suicide and providing punishment for any attempt at self-destruction have been repealed. The government has seen fit to acknowledge the right of man to end an existence which may have become intolerable to him through physical suffering or mental despair. It is believed that the community will be benefited by the removal of such people from their midst. Since the passage of this law, the number of suicides in the United States has not increased. Now the government has determined to establish a lethal chamber in every city, town, and village in the country. It remains to be seen whether or not that class of human creatures from whose desponding ranks new victims of self-destruction fall daily will accept the relief thus provided." He paused and turned to the white lethal chamber. The silence in the street was absolute. "There, a painless death awaits him who can no longer bear the sorrows of this life. If death is welcome, let him seek it there." Then, quickly turning to the military aide of the president's household, he said, "I declare the lethal chamber open." And again, facing the vast crowd, he cried in a clear voice, "Citizens of New York and the United States of America, through me, the government declares the lethal chamber to be open." The solemn hush was broken by a sharp cry of command. The squadron of hussars filed after the governor's carriage. The lancers wheeled and formed along Fifth Avenue to wait for the commandant of the garrison, and the mounted police followed them. I left the crowd to gape and stare at the white marble death chamber, and crossing South Fifth Avenue, walked along the western side of that thoroughfare to Bleecker Street.
Undoubtedly, this will leave a lot of people going, WTF, what the hey would was that? Some heavy things are coming, but it doesn't mean we can't have fun with them. I'm going to play some electronic music now. This was a strange and intense, but certainly much needed episode. I'm grateful to the muses for inspiring me. Please visit maverickmatthews.com and support the show by clicking the tip icon and saying, I would like to donate $1 million or less. I mean, whatever you feel comfortable. Let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's not be greedy. It's turkey. Thank you for being here. The electronic music starts exactly 1 hour in. Sic transit gloria mundi. Pepper for your steak.
Pocket-sized expression, the Mavmix.
Hey guys, this is Maverick. Thanks for listening to The Mavericks. Thank you.
time.
We'll be right back.
with respect to the stars.
Smart enough to the stars.
Now, reverently, turn out the light. It is finished. Good night, Harry.